Yo, so before we get the show started, here's what we got going on today. For the first time ever, I'm doing something I've never done before. I'm releasing two episodes at one time on two different feeds and two different podcasts. On this particular podcast, you're going to hear my conversation with Ray Luck as we talk about his comedy career. I was really going on with Dave Chappelle. We're going to talk about Cat Williams, how Ray Luck feels about unfunny comics, plus a whole bunch of other funny shit we're going to talk about right here on this particular podcast. On my other podcast feed called Raw Conversations with the Player Hater, we're going to have basically a raw conversation about the fact that Ray Love and his wife are swingers and they invite other people into their relationship to fuck and do all types of freaky type shit for reals. Just found that out about old dude. Yeah, that's available on iTunes. Just go to iTunes and do a search for the Player Hater. And you can download Raw Conversations with the Player Hater featuring Ray Love. Do that shit right now and listen later. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and get into this particular conversation right here.
Player hater mode activated. Welcome to the Player Hater Podcast. As you have already heard, Mr. Player Hater is chopping it up with comedian Ray Love. So, let's go ahead and jump right into their discussion.
Hey, how you doing?
Yo, what's up, Ray Love?
Good. Yourself? Doing pretty good.
I swear, it's been a minute, man. I always fall out of contact with motherfuckers. What's it been like? 2 years at least, right?
Yeah. It's been about that long. I had stopped doing the show, and hell, I even stopped doing comedy for a minute there and just started focusing on work.
Oh, for real? You even stopped doing comedy for a minute?
Yeah, I'm just did a show Thursday. So, you know, I'm getting back into it slowly but surely, but this time it's gonna be a little bit at a time.
Oh, you were doing too much before or what?
Yeah, I was doing shows at one point. I was doing them every day, but you know, people was always, oh man, I ain't got much money, or I ain't gonna be able to pay you, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, okay, cool, not a problem. Let's go ahead and get this show done, you know? And, you know, I started getting a little bit of a following and everything, but then, you know, they got to the point, oh, well, you're gonna have to promote the show too. It's like, wait a minute now, I'm not the promoter, I'm the talent. You know, you riding a very thin line right there. Either you want me to promote the show or you want me to be a part of the show. Yeah, I don't mind sharing it, you know what I'm saying, telling people about it, but you want me to put full-time promotion out there selling tickets, flyers. I'm like, man, y'all losing y'all mind.
And so do me a favor, and also for dudes who may be aspiring comics, I did speak to one dude, he lives in Florida, I think, and he does a podcast, he's a young dude, and he's getting into comedy as well. So, yeah, help me out with this. Like, what goes on with, like, getting started? Not even getting started, but being, like, a stand-up, independent stand-up comic. They want you to promote your own shit. Like, what really goes on? I don't understand.
I mean, you know, the main thing that you got to do, like, when it's promotion, you got to be when it's yourself. You know, you got to be a selfless promoter. You just got to promote hardcore. You know what I'm saying? You want to put your name out there. As far as if it's your first time, you definitely want to, you know, hype up the show. You know what I'm saying? Get people to come out. You know, you want to hype up everything about the show. Who's going to be on it? Yourself. You know what I'm saying? Even when it comes to the podcast, you know what I'm saying? You got to hype that up. I mean, to a point to where people are literally like, oh, I got to be there. You know, and sometimes it's hard, especially if, you know, all you keep talking to is your friends. You know, they're gonna cheer you on, but most of the times they ain't gonna show up. It's the total strangers that you try to impress the best, so you can get them to show up. That way they can tell their friends. Your friends, all they're gonna do is just, you know, smile in your face and tell you you're funny, and then when you're up down the stage and you fall flat on your ass, then they're looking at you like, oh man, well, it was funny when you told me the other day.
So, you know, you said you've been out for a minute, so were you rusty, or did you feel rusty getting back into it?
No, actually, I wasn't. I'm actually about to cut up the video that I did, because I took a video of it. I even, you know, at the end of the set, I even told people, it's been 2 years, you know, and I mean, everybody, they enjoyed it. You know, the people was like, man, it's like you never left. I'm like, yeah, because it's in me. You know what I'm saying? Well, you got people that want to be comedians, and then you got people that are just naturally comedians. no matter what it is, no matter what they do, they're going to make any and everybody laugh. You know, but then you also got those that, you know, like I say, they friends tell them, oh, you funny, and they really not. You know, they stroking their ego, and it gets to a point to where you like, well, I've been lied to enough today, so, you know.
Yeah, I tweeted something alluding to that fact even before we had this conversation a couple weeks or so ago about naturally funny comedians and motherfuckers who think they funny. And it's like when you're on stage, I'm assuming, I've seen a few comics up on stage, and you get hecklers every now and then. And if you let a heckler own you, then you may as well just quit.
Yeah, and I mean, I look at it like this. If you got a heckler, you got one up. You got a microphone and amp and speakers. No matter what you say, it's going to be heard. He can be heard by the 5 or 10 people, or she can be heard by the 5 or 10 people that's around them. But you're about to let the rest of the crowd know how you truly feel. And if to let a heckler get that ability to have that one leg up on you and make you feel small and you got the mic, yeah, you might as well just never ever get back on stage again. You might as well stick to reading a funny paper. But that's about as much funny you're going to get from that point on.
Rifles out. Beard like the Russians, octagon tub and a silk draws the Dutchess. Model that clay ball, posing in black sand, the day gone, swimming trunks gold with the suede on it. The rap version of Frank Ward, the mad cape and the sword, home in Columbia, call me killer fried fish Fridays. Fresh to death, waves and sideways. Blunt out, I'm ready to buy Macy's paper bag stunner. Trench coat 40 on the throat, all I know. Shake money one up besides bread, Max in the lounges. Feet up cooling, Merlot bottles get blown by the thousands. Heard I was browsing, but I was upstairs in the room chilling. Smoking about to blow 100,000. Real niggas rallying, fucking on the balcony, styling. Remember the family, peace them out, ain't.
A lot of them I don't find funny, and some of them, I'm like, yeah, that dude right there is kind of funny, but you can tell the ones who just have that natural ability to be funny, and other dudes who just have a desire to be a stand-up comic, and they're giving that shit a shot.
Yeah, yeah, I see that a lot, you know, and when I first started here in Phoenix, it was like, you know, trying to be nice to people, they trying to do their best, you know, they've never been up in front of a crowd, so this might crush them. Now, I don't give a damn. You know what I'm saying? If you suck, you suck. I'm going to let you know, hey, if comedy is what you're pursuing, you might want to try a different career, because you ain't funny.
Yeah, and I think that's a good approach, because if I were a stand-up comic, I would be the hating-ass motherfucking comic, because I feel the exact same way. Anybody who attempts to do something that you take as a craft seriously, and they just don't have it, it's almost like diminishing what you do.
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, what they do, they water down the comedy scene, because now you got these flaky, wannabe, fly-by-night comedians that's willing to get on stage and pretend like they know what they're doing, try to make people laugh, and it's salting the game for the, you know, the veterans that's in it, because now they got to work harder and cheaper, because that person that don't know what they're doing, or get up there, yeah, no, you ain't got to pay me, man, I'm doing it. And like I told the one dude that was like, oh, I love to do comedy, I said, all right, well, whatever money they're going to give you, give it to me, because your love is apparently, you know, going to take care of your bills. You know, this is something that I'm looking for as a way of life. This is something I'm looking at as bread and butter. This is not something I'm looking at as, oh, I'm going to get up here and have a little bit of fun and go drink up me some money. No. This is what I'm talking about doing for life. You know, this is, some people just don't get it. Some people just act like, oh, it's a hobby. No, don't come up here with your hobby. You want a hobby, go to Hobby Land, Craft World. You know, don't come up here with no hobby. This is real, you know.
Yeah. All right, so you have these dudes, like you said, who want to be comics. These want to be comics, and they're getting up on stage doing shit for free, and that sort of makes it bad for dudes like you who are veterans who are looking to get paid, is that what you said?
Right, right. And, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like the local veterans even want much. They just want to be appreciated. You know, don't come to me with $20 and be like, oh man, I ain't make much. You charging $20 per head at the door. You gonna give me my admission? That's what you're doing? You know, don't that's what I don't understand. And you know, I can see from a business standpoint, you're in it to make money. You know, you ain't in it to lose money. But when you got performers, you got to take care of your performers. You can't just, you know, shit on everybody. You know, I mean, your venue is going to pay you. And that's another thing. A lot of comic / promoters nowadays, they think people are stupid. They, yeah, man, no, I didn't make no money on this show. I lost money. I had to do the flyers. No, you didn't. You put that on Facebook. You didn't spend no money. You spent $0. You created a crappy flyer that you probably did, you know, on Microsoft Word or some Microsoft Paint. And then you're going to tell me you spent all this money. No, you didn't. And you're going to lie. You're going to keep all the money for yourself. Now, you leaving looking real good, pocket fat, and I'm wondering how I'm going to go ahead and get home because my tank is on E from the time I left the house. You know, and it's just bad. You know, when you got the young ones, not even the young ones, when you got people like this dude, he swear up and down he's funny, but it's like, man, you funny looking, but you're not funny. Your jokes are soft, they weak, and you out here, you know, you're salting the game, you're making it to where everybody that thinks they could possibly be funny want to get up on stage now. Now it's the market is oversaturated with a bunch of unfunny people, so when there really is a show, don't nobody want to go because they too busy getting burnt by people that couldn't make them laugh the first time, you know, and it's just sad.
But see, when you got broke friends, they going to keep you broke, all right? This on TV, we ain't booing, all right? We ain't booing. I know it's late. They going to edit this part of the show. It's late. Y'all been all night waiting. I've been waiting too, so just be patient if y'all don't mind. All right? Appreciate that. Thank y'all very much. Because I am funny. I did these jokes last night and they work. All right? It's just late. It's just a little bit late right now. All right? But we're going to work it out. But you know, when you're broke, you're going to have broke friends, y'all. So y'all ain't right. Y'all ain't right. Y'all make a nigga want to just change a career in a minute. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, y'all ain't gonna run a nigga off stage. Fuck that. I'm from L.A. They gotta been through worse shit than that. Fuck that. We gonna roll this. You know what? I tell you what. We gonna come back on the next tape, and y'all have a good night.
I take pride in what I do, and I try to make sure, you know, everything that I do to the fullest is funny. You know, I don't try to half-ass it. I don't try to sugarcoat it. You know, when I get on stage, my whole everything changes. When they call my name, man, it's like a light switch flipped on. And everything that I got so much in me that I'm trying to pour out that it just, you know, I'm telling joke after joke after joke after joke, and it's life events. You know, and I got so many of them that I want to get out that sometimes when I get off stage, I'm mad because I didn't talk about everything I wanted to. You know, I get 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45. There's a lot that I could talk about. I just can't get it all out. So I'll be frustrated. People are like, oh, man, you were funny. Yeah, I didn't get to do what I wanted, but okay. You know.
Yeah, so what determines that? Do you negotiate the amount of time you get on stage or how do you work that out?
Yeah, you know, the promoter or, you know, whomever the venue is, they'll say, well, I need a comic. Can you do about 30 minutes? You know, they'll give you an estimate about how much time they want you to do. And it's like, yeah, I can do whatever you need me to do. And, you know, for instance, 30 minutes. Yeah, I'll do 30 minutes. How much you charging? Well, it all depends on, let's see, what you're charging at the door, how many people you expecting. You know what I'm saying? Is the venue paying you too? Or are you giving free drinks with my set? You know, what's going on? Let me know what's all the perks and all the numbers, and I'll do something that works with you. I ain't going to try to break you. I try to work with you. You know, this can be a symbiotic relationship, or, you know what I'm saying, I could just go ahead and leech on your ass and take everything I can get, you know?
All right, so let's say you had carte blanche. You can stay on stage for as long as you wanted to stay, you know, because sometimes comics have hour-long specials on HBO, Showtime, whatever. You got so much material, like how long could you stay on stage before you'd be like, okay, I'm done?
To keep it consistently funny, I can do a solid hour, easy, consistently. I mean, just laugh from beginning to end, I can, for an hour. And if I just wanted to run my mouth, two hours, two and a half, you know, it might be funny, it might not be funny, but you're going to get some giggles throughout, you know. But a solid hour of pure funny, I can do that.
I know when you were doing your show on BTR, did you see any advantages of doing that show as far as getting the word out, having people come out to check you out when you perform and stuff like that, or what?
Yeah, it not only gave me the opportunity to get the word out, it gave me an opportunity to, you know, learn how to approach different topics, learn how to focus on wordage and, you know, construct my jokes a lot better. It was times where I did a show where I didn't even have any, you know, any guests or whatnot, and I just did like an hour and a half rant. You know, and to do an hour and a half rant, of course, is just random thoughts. But, you know, to do it and consistently get people to listen every time from that point on is magical. You know, because, I mean, it's people that are rant that have, it'll go from 100,000 people, then the next week is like 60,000 people, then the week after that is like 20,000 people, then before you know it, it's just you and the airwaves, and ain't nobody listening, you know, and they just running their mouth for no reason. Yeah, you can definitely find me at RayLoveComedy@gmail.com. You can catch me on Twitter, RayLoveComedy. You can catch me on Facebook with Ray Love Comedy. I'm all over the place. I'm actually on Instagram, Ray Love Comedy, too. So if you check that out, and I got some crazy-ass pics popped up there, you know why. Definitely, if you want to contact me, RayLoveComedy@gmail.com. We can set up dates and times and shows. We'll do all the particulars over the internet, over the phone, however you want to do it, email, but we can get it in.
So welcome back to the Player Hater Podcast. And as I mentioned earlier, you can download my raw conversation with Ray Love going on right now. It's available on iTunes. Just go to iTunes, do a search for the Player Hater, and you can hear raw conversations with the Player Hater featuring Ray Love as we talk about he and his wife being swingers. We talk about niggas licking pussy. We talk about niggas eating ass. And we talk about a whole bunch of other sexual type shit. Available only on that particular podcast called Raw Conversations with the Player Hater. Go to iTunes, download that shit, and you can listen to it right after this particular conversation right here is over, alright? Alright, niggas, let's get back into the show.
Alright, that's a good plan. And damn, let me ask you this, because I get tired of, I don't want to say seeing unfunny motherfuckers, because I'm sure Hannibal Buress may be funny, I don't know, but, you know, like, niggas get blown up over just accidental type shit. Like, he just happened to mention a joke about Bill Cosby and his stand-up on stage that he'd been doing for months, from what he said, and one person videotaped it and posted it online or whatever, and then before you know it, this nigga blows up, and I guess he's sort of super popular now. How you feel about shit like that?
Well, you know, everybody has a time and a place of when they get in. Everybody's looking for that door. And in most cases, it takes something like that. You know, it takes a situation where somebody like even with J-Mac, he's a local comedian here. Dude, he's funny. You know what I'm saying? He puts it down, and he did a thing with Blood Cuz, where he's a, you know, basically a gang member and all that crazy, and it's pretty funny, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, it took one person to see that, and then that one person had a nice little following, and they showed it to everybody that they knew, and so that hyped him up. So now he gets an opportunity to do shows, you know, local, he gets to do national, and it's pretty cool. Everybody's looking for that quick buzz to push them over to where everybody knows them. It's another guy here, Clayton Perkins. Now, he's real funny. That dude, I mean, he's a funny dude to me. You know what I'm saying? I laugh every time I see him. And he actually went on tour with Cat Williams, you know, and he was right place, right time, doing what it is that he loved. You know what I'm saying? And he actually put it out there. So when Cat Williams seen him, he was like, oh, yeah, I can ride with you. Let's go ahead and go on tour with me. And that was a beautiful thing for him. You know, him and J-Mac is like two of the dudes here that's made it, you know, beyond the local to where they can actually get national recognition if they so choose. Clayton has more of, you know, the DVD that he's on with Cat Williams, and J-Mac has the YouTube following like 1 or 2 million views on YouTube, and also World Star Hip Hop, you know, things like that. He's all on there. So, you know, that being able to be picked up off any type of a little gimmick is what most comics really hope and pray for. I don't know if I got a gimmick that's going to be picked up. I just tell life stories and make them funny, you know. And half of the times, I don't even have to make them funny. Half of them, they just come out as being funny, you know. And it's, you know, when you get that opportunity, man, you just got to take it however you can get it. He probably wasn't trying to make it off of, you know, Bill Cosby and whatnot. He was just probably trying to put in his 2 cents about it. And then all of a sudden, somebody's like, oh, yeah, that's funny. I like that. They put it out there, and now he's talking to town.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I wasn't implying that it's a bad thing that it happened to the ugly nigga. I was just saying you never really know, like, when that opportunity is going to come, and you could be churning out the same joke for like months and months, but it just so happens you have to be at the right venue when someone sees you that makes a difference, or someone hears you to post that shit and popularize it, or whatever the case may be. So eventually it's like motherfuckers who just remain consistent with what they're doing, eventually you hope that you'll become recognized.
In most cases, yeah, because I mean, it's people that I've seen that's torn with world-renowned comics that suck. You know, it's like, really, this is what you do? You might want to go ahead and go back to cleaning toilets, because that shit ain't funny. You know, it's a lot of comics that, even some of the mainstream big-name comics, you know, you see them on TV, and of course, this is the one thing that I pointed out to another person. When they make it big, no matter what they say, it's going to be funny. Everybody laughs. It can be,
I took a shit on a brick.
No, it's not. You know what I'm saying? But just because you have a namesake, people are laughing at everything you do. I mean, even with, for instance, with Kevin Hart. With Kevin Hart, when he first started out, you know, a lot of people really wasn't feeling them. They were like, oh, a little funny dude. He talked jokes about, you know, being short, yada-da-da-da-da-da. You know, and then he worked with that. You know, he started working with, what is that, the Red Cup Boys? They really, you know, all of them put it together. And then all of a sudden, you know, none of these big names. I mean, Kevin Hart can do no wrong. You know, he could run up and slap the shit out of somebody, and they'd think that's funny as hell. You know, Cat Williams, he been punching people upside the head for what, a couple years now? And people still love him. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, this is Butterfly Jones, the female Max. I'm checking in with the Player Hater on the Player Hater Podcast.
And you mentioned Cat Williams. Is something going on with old dude? Or you said punching niggas in the neck or in the face or whatever. What's going on with
him? Oh, yeah. Cat Williams, it was at a show. Somebody was talking trash, and Cat came off the stage and hit him upside the head. Was like, what? I'm like, damn. It was all on YouTube. They had it on World Star. Cat Williams, he's a cool dude from what I've been told. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, damn, he just going around just slapping bitches, punching niggas. This motherfucker's wild. You know what I'm saying? He's the type of motherfucker I like to party with. Somebody get out of pocket, Cat Williams gonna jump in and fuck something up. You know? That dude there, he's the kind of cat that, you know, if you chilling and y'all having a good time and some shit pop off, he gonna be the first one to jump up and slap somebody real damn quick. You know, you have to watch Cat. He looks like the type of temper that'll fuck something up in a heartbeat, and you wondering, why the hell is the police here so damn fast? Where's Cat Williams? You know? Because he just seems like the type of y'all chilling, y'all gonna cool out, relax, y'all gonna have a good time, but if a motherfucker pop off at the lip, he gonna try to rip that lip off.
Yeah, I was just wondering, and what's the deal, or at least what's your opinion about Dave Chappelle? Now, Dave Chappelle used to be funny. I don't know if he's still funny. I know he's swole as hell. But, I mean, Dave Chappelle used to be funny. I used to like Dave Chappelle even as a stand-up comic. I used to love the show. I used to watch it from time to time. But his stand-up back in the day was funny. I don't know if he went to Africa and what the fuck happened or whatever. He came back not funny. But what's going on with Dave Chappelle in your opinion?
Well, with Dave Chappelle, he was out here in Arizona about a year ago, a show he did out of a little tour. And it was pretty damn funny. You know, he did a lot of new jokes, you know, talking about the whole thing, about him going to Africa and everything. And it's pretty cool, you know. And it comes a point with some comics, you gotta find yourself, you gotta, in most cases, reinvent yourself. You know, you gotta really sit back and think about everything that's being brought to you. You know, in his situation, I'm pretty sure it's more than what he's saying, but his situation, you know, everything just came real quick. You know, his show was blowing up, he was doing real good, he had money, he was being sought after by everybody. You know, Dave Chappelle was just, he was the household name. And then something happened, you know, whatever the case may have, it might even stem from when they wanted him, you know, to play the role of a woman, you know, and he was like, ah, I'm cool on that. You know, and in most cases, like they say in showbiz, you got people that's willing to put mostly black male, you know, actors, comedians, singers, dress them up as women to try to, for one, degrade them, you know, take away their manhood by doing so. And then once they got them in a compromising position, they're willing to do whatever it takes, you know, because they can always run back. Well, you put on a dress for such and such, why you can't put on a dress for me? You know, and that's the point to where, you know, you really got to make that decision in your career whether or not you want to dress and play Boo Boo the Fool, or if you want to actually continue forward and try to make something of yourself and have some credibility. But with Dave Chappelle, you know, like I say, he was out here. It was pretty funny. You know, I was laughing, you know, and a lot of other people felt the same way. Now, he might be working on some new stuff that's even newer than what I've seen. You know, I haven't heard anything recently besides a couple of the little, you know, newspaper reports and tabloid deals. But other than that, if Dave Chappelle was to come back, just like, for instance, if, what's his face? What is that dude's name? Friday? Smokey?
What is it? Chris Tucker, yeah.
Yeah, now Chris Tucker was to come back. You know, everybody, because Chris Tucker tried to make a comeback after he stopped. He came back as a Christian comic, and all of a sudden that didn't work out. He put on a lot of weight, and then now he's trying to come back, you know, as the regular Chris Tucker. He's, you know, and it's like, man, you surpassed that twice now. You know what I'm saying? You was at the height. You was, everybody was Chris Tucker this, Chris Tucker that. You know, and then you decided to go a different way. Then you come back, you want to do Christian comedy, which, don't get me wrong, Christian comedy pays very well. I mean, because there's not a lot of Christian comics, right? You know what I'm saying? So when they get you, oh, they're going to pay you because they want you to stay on that circuit. I'm just like with Steve Harvey. He switched from being filthy dirty to straight Christian. And when he did, he started getting television shows even more, you know what I'm saying, a popular television show. He got his own talk show and everything. You know, they love that. When you got that versatility to be able to say, you know what, I can do this here too. Don't worry about it. I can get all that money too. I can go ahead and get all that money. Christian money spends just like everybody else's money. Let me go and get a handful of it.
Yo, this is Be Honest from the No Nonsense Show. You can find us at nononsenseshow.com. Voice note 678-636-9116. The No Nonsense Show is 10% less bullshit than any other podcast, guaranteed. And I'm listening to Mr. Player Hater on the Mr. Player Hater podcast.
I've had a good long conversation with D.L. Hughley, you know, and he's said to me, look here, just don't give up. You know, don't give up. Don't fuck up and don't give up. You know, so I take that in consideration. You know, I talked with Eddie Griffin, and, you know, he was saying the same thing. Look here, man, don't let nobody keep you from what you're trying to do. You know, don't let nobody deter you off your path. You know, Honest John, I've talked to him, and he's like, yeah, man, you know, just be true to yourself. You know, so all of them give, you know, good advice. Even Hope Flood, she's like, boy, you funny as hell. I don't know why you ain't out here doing this. You know, and the crazy thing is, it's not that I'm not trying. It's just I'm waiting for my break like everybody else, and I don't know where to go. You know, a lot of people say, go to California. John Witherspoon, he was like, go to California. Go to New York, go to Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Go to one of those three places. He said, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you go to California, you better damn show be funny. Don't go there thinking that, oh, I can get a couple laughs. He said, no, you have to be funny. Everybody there has an angle. Everybody has a gimmick. Everybody has something that makes them funnier than the next. You can't go there with a small city mentality thinking that, oh, I've made these 50 people in this bar laugh. You know, I can make hundreds of thousands of people laugh. He said, you have to know that you're funny. Other than that, don't bring your ass to California. I was like, oh,
yo, so let me ask you this, because I know you tossed out some names just now, and I know, at least I think, this is my thinking. I'm like, yo, this business and many businesses are all about networking. It's all about who you know. And if you know people, or at least you communicate with people who have more or less made it in quotation marks, then can you then reach out to these people to sort of give you a hand up, or is that something that can't be done in comedy?
I mean, it can be done, but, you know, and I look at this in two ways. One, I want to be able to, you know, like I told them, be on the lookout for me. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you to actually, you know, help me out. I want you to be out on the lookout for me. So when you see my name, you know, oh, okay, yeah, I remember talking to him. Let me get him on my show versus, you know, them putting in the word and then the person that they put in the word to may not think I'm funny. You know, so they, I mean, because D.L. Hughley may think I'm funny, but his manager may think I suck. You know what I'm saying? Cat Williams may think I'm just suck. I mean, just blow chalk. But his manager might think I'm the funniest thing ever. You know what I'm saying? So it's basically, I try not to call in any favors. I just tell people, hey, you know, just be on the lookout for me. You know, when they see me perform and they see the passion that I have, they say, yeah, I'll be on the lookout. I know I can tell it's in you. It's coming. You on your way. So, you know, I look at that as motivation, too. You know, when I get national and comics that's been around the world, national comics and comics that's been around the world to say, man, you are funny as hell. You know what I'm saying? Like, D.L. Hughley, we was having a conversation. He was like, man, you're pretty damn funny. I was like, thank you. You know, I appreciate that. You know, I can't believe D.L. Hughley think I'm funny, but okay.
Yo, so that's going to do it for today. But as I've been saying the whole show, don't forget, you can go to iTunes and download Raw Conversations with the Player featuring Ray Love this week. As we talk about the fact that old dude only got a 3-inch dick and he can barely touch his wife's pussy. That motherfucker shot the fuck out, but he's funny as hell, so make sure to check it out. Ray Love, featured this week on Raw Conversations with the Player Hater, available on iTunes. And coming up soon, I had a conversation with a whole bunch of folks. I spoke to a chick called Crystal from The Crystal Show, and we also had a raw conversation. I spoke to Janice from Girlfriend Talk Magazine and found out that she's a straight-up freak and you possibly could fuck her in the ass. Maybe not the first or second time, but definitely the second or third time. At least I know I could. And I had a conversation yesterday with a dude called Be Honest from the No Nonsense Podcast. Really cool dude, and we had a host off where we just asked each other questions all throughout the show. Yeah, matter of fact, I'm going to close out the show with a little of our conversation right now. All right, niggas. So until next time, yeah, just remember, keep your motherfucking hate.
Fuck you, nigga. You's a motherfucking player hater.
All right, so the first time I saw your podcast, I think that it was one of the ones where you were critiquing other podcasts. The very first thing that came to my mind was, wow, this nigga is arrogant, right? I was like, this guy is arrogant. He's in the same field as these other guys, but he's going to critique them. And you know, the question that came to my mind was, what made you decide to start, you know, to dig into the jugular like that? What made you have that feeling? I mean, now I don't think you're arrogant. I listen to the show. I listen to a lot of the show, so I know exactly where it's coming from. But what was the initial thing that made you say, you know what, I need to start critiquing these other shows? And what was the mindset that went into that?
Yo, that is an interesting question, because I actually, I'm going to answer your question, but I actually decided to stop doing the podcast critic for a few different reasons. One reason was because I found it counterproductive to the way I truly feel about podcasting. Because, again, if it's the first time listener and they're hearing me shitting on other people's craft, then yeah. I mean, really, it's like, man, they'll have the attitude like you. Who the fuck are you to say that these people's shit suck? I mean, first of all, I'm the player hater. That's to answer your number one question for anyone who may have that question, who I am. But yeah, I actually thought about that shit and decided to consciously stop doing it because it was counterproductive. I'm a podcast advocate, but listening to the podcast critic, you could never realize that shit. So I said, you know what? The podcast critic within itself, the way I'm doing it, is not right. Maybe I'll come back later and do the podcast critic in a different way. Maybe invite people on. We can have a constructive conversation about, you know, what I didn't like about this shit. But, I mean, the way I went about it initially, I'll be the first one to say, yo, that shit I shouldn't have done. Even though I enjoyed the hell out of it, don't get me wrong, I loved the fuck out of it.
It was hilarious.
I thoroughly enjoyed that shit, but I was really hurting people's feelings. So I was like, yo, it's counterproductive, man. I can't do it because these are people, fellow podcasters, many of whom listen to theirs and mine, and I'm shitting on this shit. That's not good. But that wasn't my main intent to shit on it, though. My main intent was to be like, yo, I listen to your shit. It's okay, but this is what you really need to work on. Plus, I tossed in some funny shit along the way. So that's really the main reason I'm a podcast critic. Not to shit on people's craft, because I don't believe in shit on people's hard work and craft. They take a lot of pride in that shit. It's like I take a lot of pride in my shit. It was mainly done just as a way for me to say, I listen to your shit. I ain't all that impressed. You may need to work on this type shit. And in the meantime, I'm going to talk about how, you know, some funny type shit about you in the meantime. So yeah, that's mainly what that was about.